the prayer this morning. And please remain standing. Turn to page number 142. Page 142. And as you turn there, you're going to want to grab your Bible. Page number 152. 152. Hold the fort. Hold the fort. Oh, my comrades, see the signal waving in the sky. When you reach that chorus, it says, wave the answer back to heaven. I'll wave your answer back to heaven. So page number 152. Hold the fort, hold my comrades, see the signal waving in the sky. Page 152. Oh, my comrades, see the signal waving in the sky. Reinforcements now appearing, victory is nigh. Hold the fort, for I am coming, Jesus signal.
Before we even get into the announcements and that, first things first, at 1 o'clock this afternoon, Ken and Karen's daughter Joan, her twin brother, is slated for surgery at 1 o'clock this afternoon for liver transplant. And they have asked us to pray for John Walker, that's Joan's twin brother. And so I'd like to take a moment before we do anything and pray specifically for John Walker, for his that the transplant goes well, and that if he's not saved, that he comes to know the Lord as Savior at this time. maybe right before surgery, knowing how delicate life is. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for this time, and we pray, we lift up John Walker this morning, Lord. We pray for his upcoming surgery. Lord, we pray that the liver be the right liver and be accepted by his body. Lord, we pray for the procedure to go smooth can be. Lord, we pray for peace in that family, especially Joan being over there with him, Lord. Please calm their hearts. Dear God, we pray that if John's not saved, Joan's words of encouragement and Joan's words of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they not come back void, Lord, and that he gets saved maybe even today. Dear God, we thank you for life and help us all choose life, Lord. We lift up John Walker once more, Lord. Please be with him. Please be with the physicians, the procedure, and all and the recovery, Lord. We thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. John Walker. So maybe even after we leave here today, we'll keep thinking of John Walker. Pray for John Walker. We got two clipboards going around today. The first one is a potluck. Many already signed up for the potluck, but we'll send it around today. And we're looking forward to the baked Alaskans that Asher's going to bring. And then the other thing, the other clipboard here is we're having senior camp here at the Liberty Baptist Church. I think Great Falls is going to bring a teenager. Of course, Billings is involved, and Helen, teenagers. We're going to, senior camp got moved. The dates got moved, so we got to have it at the same week because we have junior camp the following week. So it is going to be here. We are asking the church to help, and what it is, it would be, I got here from 1:30 to 5:30 p.m., 4 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and three or four people, depends, it just depends, but three or four people to help. We're looking maybe between 30 and 40 kids. The food will already be here. The food will already be here except for the pizza on Wednesday night. So make it easy on everybody, but that will have to be picked up. But other than that, all the food will be here, and it would be entail preparation in that and serving for when the teenagers get back from their activity that afternoon. So we'll send that around, and I really appreciate it. And it just was a deal as far as the times, and it got changed, and so we're punting, and we're going to have it's going to be a good time. So should we start one on one side, or one on one side and one on the other? All right. And tonight we're going to have Brother Nick Serino here. Please come back tonight. He's not a rookie. They've been up in the Arctic Circle for 25 or 30 years. And he's coming through, and he wants to be a blessing, and he's going to preach. He comes from an independent Baptist church in the Arctic Circle. And so he'll be here tonight. And so I do invite everyone to be back tonight and give him some encouragement and support, and him and his wife. So I do thank you, everyone, for being here this morning. Thank you.
What time is up tonight?
6 o'clock. 6 o'clock.
All right, please join me in stand one more time and turn to page 157. Page 157, Faith is the Victory. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise. Page 157.
Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise and press the we know that overcomes the world.
find your place. Join me in the last verse of page 157. Faith is the victory on the last.
To him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in prayer. And onward from the hills of light, their hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is the victory, faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
Amen. Brother Steve, would you ask the blessing on our offerings? God bless you this morning.
Before we get going, I'd like to recognize Stan and Monique. Stan and Monique, they come join us from Apache Junction, Arizona. And then we've got Thomas. What's your last name, Thomas? Thomas Rowell from Oklahoma. They come to join us this morning. We thank you for being here. And today is Memorial Day, where we do recognize the men and women of the armed services who died while serving in the military. So this morning, I thought we'd stand and we'll pledge of allegiance to the flag. We'll salute the flag this morning. Just stand with me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Wow. Amen. You may be seated. We are so fortunate to be in America. We can preach. We can have a Bible. We can learn about God. We can assemble. We can vote. We can do a lot of things. If you would turn your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. As we're turning to Acts chapter 6, Memorial Day is a federal holiday in the United States for remembering the people who died while serving in the country's armed forces. The holiday, which is observed every year on the last Monday of May, originated as Decoration Day after the American Civil War in 1868. When the Grand Army of the Republic, an organization of Union veterans founded in Decatur, Illinois, established it as a time for the nation to decorate the graves of the war dead with flowers. By the 20th century, competing Union and Confederate holiday traditions celebrated on different days, they had finally merged. And Memorial Day eventually extended to honor all Americans who died while in military service. And today, we honor those soldiers who died while in service. Remember. It says, remembering the people who died while serving in the country's armed services. To remember means not only to keep in mind, to summon into mind. In other words, recall. A synonym of remember is recall. We can recall history, dates, and events. We couldn't while we were sophomores, though. That seemed like a hard thing to do, those dates, times, and events. We can recall mistakes. A lot of us can recall more mistakes than others. We can recall different decisions we've made. We can recall good times. We can recall great memories. But not only recall, but there are other synonyms that come with remember. One of those synonyms is recognize or commemorate. Commemorate is to pay tribute or honor. So today we remember the men and women who died in military service. This morning at Liberty Baptist Church, we're going to remember. We're going to recall and recognize and commemorate and pay tribute or honor to two other men. I hear something. Is the thing still on? Oh, there it is. Number one's going to be Stephen. We're going to pay tribute and honor to him while he died in godly service. So we'll look at Stephen first this morning in Acts chapter 2. Let's pray. Or Acts chapter 6, excuse me. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we once again ask you to bless this time and ask you to bless this message, Lord, and help us be thankful for the men and women in the military who died in the military, but also be thankful for those men and women who were martyred on the spiritual battlefield, Lord, that we might have this Bible today, that we might have this freedom today. We thank you most of all for Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. Lord, I ask that if there's one here, or two, or three, or four, who do not know you as Savior, I pray maybe this morning that you'll touch their heart, and I pray, Lord, change their heart, and they repent and call out to you and ask them for forgiveness of sins. For those of us who know Christ as Savior, I pray that we can better imitate these men that we're going to honor this morning. We ask these things and we praise your holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. In Acts chapter 6, we're going to look at Stephen. We're going to remember the martyr Stephen. We're going to first look at the vocation or the calling of Stephen in Acts chapter 6, verse 1. There he is. And in those days when the number of the disciples multiplied, there arose a murmuring against the Grecians, against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And the 12 were called. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "Is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables?" They're looking for deacons here. This is when deacons were first initiated and voted upon in the first church. Verse 4 says, verse 3, "Wherefore, brethren, I look out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, and we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen. Stephen's the first one mentioned here, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. A deacon is an attendant, a minister, a servant. And Stephen was chosen to serve alongside six other men to serve, to do the mechanical work in this first church, while the disciples did the preaching and the teaching, the academic work and the spiritual work. There's a very important job, the job of a deacon. We see in verse 5 the character of Stephen, full of faith. It says here, he was full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. He was faithful in Christ, faithful to Christ, and he had faith in Christ. He had trusted Christ as his Savior. He was a professed born-again believer. They chose him out of those men that were working with the disciples, and he was faithful to Christ. He had an unwavering confidence in Jesus Christ. He had not only an unwavering confidence, but we'll see later on, he had the courage and boldness for the cause of Christ. The courage and boldness a lot of us here this morning yearn to have for the cause of Christ. And he was full of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost comes and resides within a Christian, but this man was full of the Holy Ghost. We have seen that... Object lesson, where you got the jar here and it's empty and you're big and rocks or whatever, big objects. This is materialism, this is self-will, this is that and everything. And then there's just a little bitty room for the Holy Ghost. Okay? This man was filled with the Holy Ghost. He was empty of self-will. He wanted to do what God wanted him to do. We see in verse 8 through 10 the attributes of Stephen. Once again, in verse 8 it says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." I thought only apostles had those gifts. Well, Paul was an apostle. He was not the original 12, but he had gifts of healing, as to show that he was the messenger of the Most High God. Peter later on healed Tabitha, brought her again unto life. And it says here that Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost and did miracles. The arrest and trial of Stephen, verse 12, and they stirred up the people, and the elders and the scribes came upon him, that Stephen, and caught him and brought him to the council. Why? Because he was preaching the word of God. And they set up false witnesses, which said, "This man ceaseth not to speak the blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us." And all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Now, what does that mean? Face of an angel is a common language at that time from John Gill. The language is very common in the Jewish writings. It is a language that denotes calmness, dignity, and confidence in God. How many of us have heard someone sing, I remember Kayla Pierce, I remember when she was in high school, she sang at the talent show up there, and I can't remember the song. I said, "Boy, you got the voice of an angel." Now, how would I know? I've never heard of a voice of an angel. But if I did, it'd sound like Kayla's. And so it's a verbiage that denotes here as a face of an angel that denotes calmness, dignity, and confidence in God. So they brought him before the council. The defense of Stephen is almost the whole chapter 7. He defends himself with the word of God. He goes through the whole Old Testament, showing them the history, the Jewish history, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the prophets. And we see the accusation in verse 51, and he's got their attention because they're Jews and they know the Old Testament, and he's got them all in. And in verse 51, he says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. He accused them of being stiff-necked. Here, you know what the prophets say. You know what the Pentateuch says. You know what Moses says, yet you're stiff-necked. What does it mean to be stiff-necked if you're working a horse or a mule or something? In order for them to give or to turn, their head turns, their soft neck. But if they've got a stiff neck, you rain, you even pull back on to plow rain, and they do what they want to do. They're stiff-necked and stubborn. And then, so that's the same as the Jews. Stephen says, you know what the Old Testament says. You knew what the prophets were looking forward to, and that was Messiah, but you refused to listen. You refuse to submit to the authority of God. You're a stiff-necked people, uncircumcised of eyes and ears. And that's figuratively saying that you've got... Because circumcision was a sign that they would follow God's law, circumcised on the eighth day. So figuratively, uncircumcised, you even refuse to obey God. Unwillingness to hear. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 10, it says, behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. We see in 58 here, and cast him out of the city. Well, verse 57, then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast them out of the city, cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Later, Saul's name would be changed to Paul, the Apostle Paul, after he trusted Christ as Savior and had a life-changing moment. And just a couple pages later, and he was sold out for the cause of Christ. We see the stoning of Stephen. Look at verse 59. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. God and Lord Jesus are the same there. Why? Because God is manifest in the flesh, and his name is Jesus Christ. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. Jesus Christ is God. Verse 60, I'd like you to note in verse 60, and he kneeled down, Stephen kneeled down. Here we see the compassion of Stephen. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. They're throwing rocks at him. He is dying. And he says, Lord, lay not their charge to them. And we have people who refuse a tract or say, you're nuts when it comes to Christianity. And we don't say, Lord, lay this not to their charge. We get upset. Oh, if we could be like Stephen. So we recall, we recognize, we commemorate, we pay tribute and honor to Stephen this morning. Not only remembering Stephen this morning, but we'll remember our great King this morning. The vocation of Jesus Christ. He shall be great, Luke chapter 1, verse 32, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. Jesus Christ is going to sit on the throne of his father David in Jerusalem. As after the rapture and after the tribulation. The Jews at this time, they stoned Stephen because they were looking for a conquering king. Instead, they found a meek and lowly Savior. Jesus Christ is coming again. Hello, Jesus Christ is coming again. The Bible says to watch for His coming. We're to occupy till He comes. We're to do the very best we can with what God's given us until Jesus Christ comes again. So Jesus Christ will sit on the throne of His father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of His kingdom there shall be no end. Part of His calling, see, He's the Christ, the anointed, the Messiah one. But also in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, He shall bring forth a son, and she shall bring forth a son, and shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. If you're here this morning, you believe that Jesus Christ existed, and you believe that Christ is the will sit on the throne of His Father, or it's all hazy to you, that's okay. The important thing is Jesus, Savior, Deliverer. Jesus was born on this earth to save or deliver His people from their sins. The Bible declares all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God desperately wants you to be saved or delivered from your sin this morning. How does one get saved from their sin? Number one, we got to realize we're sinners. Oh my goodness, I can't even do what my parents told me to do when I was a kid. I can't do what the boss tells me what to do. I know what's right and wrong, and I can't do. I'm a sinner, and I'm in desperate need of a Savior. Who can save me? Jesus Christ is the only one that can save you. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Then humbly bow and ask Jesus Christ for forgiveness. The Bible states, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is not church membership. It is not baptism. It is not doing the best we can do is how one gets saved. The only way one can get saved is call upon Jesus, Savior, Deliverer, to save us from our sins. The character of Christ. We looked at the character of Stephen. What's the character of Christ? John chapter 8, verse 29 reads, and He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I, listen, do always those things that please Him. I do always those things that please Him. Jesus Christ was sinless, and He did always those things that please the Father. What are some of the attributes of Christ? He was merciful. He healed the diseased. He caused the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak. And He was merciful to sinners. He said, go and sin no more. He was patient in John chapter 3 with Nicodemus. Jesus said, you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus, how can I be shoved back in my mama's womb? It's impossible. But Jesus was patient with him. Jesus was kind and walked Nicodemus through being born again. What's born of this flesh is flesh. What's born of the spirit is spirit. You must be born again to see the kingdom of God. It's a spiritual birth. We then see the arrest and trial of Christ. He was falsely accused. Jesus never did any wrong. He was accused of many things, but He never did anybody wrong. He was beaten, He was mocked, He was scorned, He was spit upon. His beard was plucked out, and He was later scourged with a cat of nine tails. And they placed a crown of thorns on His head. Imagine He just bled and bled and bled like a stuck hog with a crown of thorns on His head. The defense of Christ. Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked Him, saying, art thou the King of Jews? And Jesus said to him, thou sayest. And when He was accused of the chief priests and elders, He answered nothing. We talked a little bit this morning about conscience in Sunday school. and how having a good conscience toward men is to be falsely accused and say nothing. And that's for a good conscience in the sight of God when we say nothing toward men, because in the scheme of things, what does it matter if it was someone else's dirty coffee cup that I got accused of not washing? Does it really matter, these little things? Jesus was falsely accused. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he answered nothing. Isaiah chapter 53 talks about him being a lamb led to slaughter, dumb before his shears, and spoke not a word. Why did Jesus say nothing? He had all these things to say. He could have expounded the law and the prophets like no one else. Why did Jesus say nothing? Because he loves you. He loves you. And he took the hit. Because if he'd have said something, he may not have been walked up the Via Dolorosa to the hill called Calvary and nailed to a cross for your sin. Jesus loves you, and he kept his mouth quiet for you. Oh, won't you call upon him today? He wants you to call upon him. It says later on here, it says, then Pilate said unto him, hearest thou not many things they witness against thee? And he answered him, never a word. Insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. And then the death of Christ. Like the front of our thing, what does the front of our bulletin say today? What does it say? Remember those who gave for our freedom? And we're here to remember, yeah, we're here to remember Jesus Christ who gave his life for our freedom. Our freedom from sin. Our freedom from hell. Our freedom from a guilty conscience for the rest of our life. As far as the east is from the west, God forgives and forgets our sins. And he died to give us that freedom. And he died on the cross of Calvary, and his final words were, it is finished. There is no more sacrifice for sin. There is nothing we can do for our sin. There's nothing in the world we could even add to the death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary with his shed blood for our sin. It is finished. And he died so that we might be free from death and have eternal life. Then we look, if you would please turn to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. We see the compassion of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 23, verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, the malefactors, one on the right hand, the other on the left, and said, Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Just like Stephen, lay this not at their charge. He says of the soldiers, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive the Pharisees, they falsely accused me. Father, forgive. They have no idea what they're doing. Once again, as we remember the death of Stephen and Jesus, to recall, remember is to recall, recognize, or commemorate. And there's not a better way this morning. Once again, what did our mothers say about actions? Speak louder than words. So we can commemorate all we want to this morning. We can say we remember. We can say we honor Jesus Christ. But there's not a better way to honor Christ than to imitate him with our actions. Imitate him as our example, conformed unto the image of Christ. Let's compare ourselves this morning with Jesus Christ. What about our calling? Our vocation? The will of God, number one, is that we be saved, that we trust Christ as Savior. And number two, in the general will of God, is that we glorify Him in all that we do, in all that we say, with all our heart, soul, and mind. We're to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and live a life of holiness. Be holy, the Bible says, for I am holy. We can compare ourselves not only with our calling, but what about our character? Are we full of faith this morning like Stephen? Do we have an unwavering confidence in Christ? Do we really have an unwavering confidence in Christ? Are we bold enough? Do we have courage to witness and to fight for the cause of Christ? Especially in this day and age, we're fools. We're fools to believe that God created the heavens and the earth. We're fools to believe that this man Jesus even existed. We're fools to believe that this is the inerrant word of God without mistake. We're fools this morning. And we can get mad and we can say, oh, don't you dare call me a fool. And we can set up our battle lines. But you know what? We can imitate Jesus Christ and say, you know what? Father, forgive them, for they have no idea what they do. Father, forgive them, for they have no idea what they're saying. Father, forgive them, for they have no idea what they're missing. The peace that passes all understanding. Are we filled with the Holy Ghost? Are we empty of self-will this morning? And promotion of self? Or maybe primarily interested in promoting the kingdom of God? That's where we should be. That's where our focus should be every day, is promoting the kingdom of God. And am I filled this morning with love for my Jesus? And we should love Him because He first loved us. He rescued a sinner like me. And there's a song that talks about rescuing a sinner like me. Rescued from the muck and the mire of the sin and the filth in this world. Self-induced filth. And Jesus Christ rescued a sinner like me. We've compared ourselves with the calling of Jesus Christ, the character of Stephen. What about the compassion of the two of them? Do I imitate Jesus Christ? Do I have a burden for those who have not been rescued? Or I just dismiss it? It's their problem, not mine. We're going to have an invitation. And once again, today is Memorial Day, where we remember soldiers who died while in service and their sacrifice. Not only to recall, recognize, and commemorate. Not only to recall, but to recognize and commemorate and pay tribute and honor to these soldiers. We've looked at two other men this morning, two other men of the Bible. The man Stephen, who was stoned for his faith, and the man Jesus Christ, the only mediator, the only go-between between God and us. The man Jesus Christ. As we remember the death of Stephen and of Jesus, we have to ask some questions this morning. I think it's good to ask ourselves these questions. Number one, do I have an unwavering confidence in Christ? Number two, do I remember Jesus for who He is? Do I remember Him as my Creator, as my King, as my Savior, as the lover of my soul? Do I remember Him this morning? Do I honor Him enough to imitate Him? His character and His compassion. Do I honor Him enough to pattern my life after Him? not only out of love, but just out of obedience. Oh my goodness, do I love him enough? Do I imitate him? Do I remember him? This morning we'll thank the Lord for his sacrifice on the cross. Let's ask him this morning to forgive us for not obeying him, for not imitating him. And this morning, let's ask Jesus Christ to give us the grace that we can be what we ought to be. There's not one of us in here this morning who does not know what God expects of us. We're saved. We've got the Holy Ghost resides in us. We know what the Word of God says. Yet, we still don't meet His expectations. Let's ask God to give us the grace to meet His expectations. Give us the grace to witness to people. Give us the grace with that unwavering confidence to not be as scared of people, but to have compassion on people. Be what He wants us to be for the cause of Christ. 375 this morning, if you'll stand, 375.